Welcome back for a couple more minutes with Dr. Jared Diamond. You turned around a wonderful phrase. We all think that that necessity is in the mother of invention. And you tell me that's not true, that invention, in fact, is the mother of necessity. I think that has lots of opportunities and implications too, doesn't it? Tell me why you turned that on its head.
I turned it on its head as a result of looking at the history of human inventiveness. I got into the area of the progress of technology by naively assuming that inventors saw a need and so they devised something to meet the need. I imagined that 5,000 years ago, someone developed a copper axe because they got sick of these chipped weeks. Stone axes, and that eventually people started experimenting with steel because they were cheesed off with bronze axes. But then I looked at the way that invention has proceeded today, and the way it's proceeded in modern times is that there are these inventors who love tinkering, and they tinker and they invent, and then once they've invented, they then have the problem, what good is the damn thing? For example, Thomas Edison. Is it that Thomas Edison looked around and he saw all these music lovers who were frustrated that they could only go to concerts and they really wanted to hear a symphony back in their own home? So Edison thought and thought and finally he came up with a phonograph. God bless him, and we are grateful ever since. No. Edison loved tinkering. And he figured out this device that would record sounds. He then has the problem, what good is this device? Mm-hmm. Edison then came out with a list of 10 proposed uses. Number one, we can now record the words, last words of dying people. Number two, we can record for blind people. Number three, et cetera, et cetera. Recording music is either not on his list or way down there. And eventually, someone said to Edison, look, this invention of yours would be great as a phonograph, and I'm going to connect it with a coin, and we'll have a jukebox. Edison said, that is dreadful. You are debasing my glorious invention that will help blind people in the last words of dying people.
Are you suggesting there is some utility to keeping stirring things up, that this whole inventiveness is good?
Well, what I am saying is that whether inventiveness is good or not, the way that inventiveness proceeds is mostly by the decisive advances are by people stirring up and trying things. The transistor, it was not invented by someone who was sick of vacuum tubes and wanted to bring America to the forefront of world, to bring Japan to the forefront of world electronics. It was somebody puttering away doing fundamental physics in Bell Labs.
This reminds me very much of John Holland and the work he has done on emergence, where things, you can't plan it. But you get enough of the elements together and something seems to emerge. And it is not always, and in fact frequently, and I think this is what you're saying, it is seldom under rational control.
That's right. That's the basic principle behind what's called basic scientific research in this country. The United States government funds, for billions of dollars a year, basic research through the National Institutes of Health and National Science Foundation. That's research by scientists who don't care about practical implications, but they're interested in some worm or some atom, and they just want to understand it. And when they understand it, out of the hundreds of worms that they understand, one worm may prove to be of decisive importance at curing malaria, and one atom may prove to be of decisive importance at giving rise to transistors. So that's the accidental fallout. That's the way the most important advances in technology have been made, by tinkerers.
And it's also part of the danger of trying to target research and part of the danger of presumably seeking just narrow economic benefit from research.
Absolutely. Again, a big argument in the government is that some people in the government say this fundamental research is a waste. There was that dreadful senator, I think from Wisconsin, Senator William Proxmire, who a decade or two ago would give an award each year for what he thought was the most useless research on worms or on various other things. And that just reflects an abominable misunderstanding of how science proceeds. The most important science is not targeted. By targeted science, you make small advances. By untargeted science, you come out with 100 things of which 98 are not of great value, and 2 are the real breakthroughs.
Well, and in a sense, what you represent in 13,000 years in your latest book, and 100,000 years in at least one of your predecessors, is in a social sense, in a historical sense, a representation of that same concept.
I think.
The U.S. government did not commission me to write Guns, Germs, and Steel, but having written it, I believe that there are lessons of value in it for the U.S. government.
Well, and the richness and the unpredictability of history and the layout of the axes and where the plants happen to be growing and where the animals happen to be growing, nobody sat back and said, you know, this is how we're going to evolve civilization. It just sort of happened. It emerged from the available resources.
That's right.
There is so much more to be said, and we are out of time, but we thank you for all that you have introduced as ideas, and we will look forward to the next book.
Thank you, and you are welcome.
Jared Diamond's Pulitzer Prize-winning book is called Guns, Germs, and Steel. It is astonishing. We are deeply grateful to Dr. Diamond both for his lifetime of work and for sharing it with us. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.